This is Alex Lacasse with Edge Radio and Seacoast Online. I'm joined by retired Colonel Jim Ryan. He has served more than 30 years combined between the United States Air Force and the New Hampshire Air National Guard. He retired officially on May 1st. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
You had just mentioned that this was kind of your first full day off starting a new job, which we can get into later. How are you feeling right now?
Feeling great. It's an awesome feeling. Beautiful day, great spring. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for your service. I wanted to ask you, what would you say sparked your interest in aviation, and did you think at some point that would translate to a long career in the armed services?
You know, my initial interest in aviation probably was stemmed genetically through my father and through some of my relatives, but quite honestly, it was a memory, and I think I even remarked about it in my comments in my retirement speech. Was at age 5, my family took a trip over to Europe, and it was the first time on an airplane. We have a large family, and so I think it was Iceland Air flying us on a Boeing 707. We flew from New York to Iceland and then Iceland to Frankfurt, Germany. But on that first flight, I'm telling you, it was the most incredible experience for a young kid or a child, I guess, in this case. And there I was kind of amazed with what was happening around me. And then, of course, had to go to the restroom, and I'd go to the bathroom, and there's these air lavatory systems that use vacuum pressure to suck out the wastewater. And I was really fascinated by that, too. I mean, quite honestly, I looked at this. I took like 20 trips to the bathroom in the course of the flight, and I knew at that point right there and then I was either going to be a pilot or a plumber. I chose the first.
Probably at least to a little more exciting career. Jim, you went on to finish your career as the wing commander of the 157th New Hampshire Air National Guard refueling wing. If you could just talk a little bit about your general mission at the 157th and how that evolved over the years since you started your career in the 1980s, kind of at the end of the Cold War, up through the 90s, and then kind of into the 9/11 War on Terror years.
Right. I mean, it's been 30 years where we honestly, the majority of it, we've seen some sort of conflict around the world. As far as my position as the wing commander, I mean, it's a great honor and privilege to be to lead the 1,300 plus phenomenal airmen of the 157th. But in doing that, our general mission over the 157th has been and continues to be primarily air refueling. And so we provide essentially gas to anything that flies at any point in time. And all those folks over there execute that mission flawlessly every day, which is one of the reasons why they were selected to be chosen to fly the new tanker that's coming to the Air Force, and that's that KC-46, which is going to be an awesome bird here when it arrives sometime next year. But looking back in time of what here I've been kind of committed and definitely an honored and privileged member of the 157th, doing the air refueling mission over the past 20 plus years. Before that, we were seeing the tail end of the Gulf War and all the subsequent conflicts that have taken place. As part of that, before my time in the 157th, I was an instructor pilot, and before that, I was flying F-111s out of RAF Lakenheath, England. So we've seen literally a constant activity in deployments to the Middle East and to areas of the world where there's conflict, and so they continue to do that today. Other specific, things I might remark about with when it comes to the job here. Like I said, when you look back in time, 30 years is a long time, and I really can look at the last 22 years and say, hey, this is where my home and my heart has been, and I've been dedicated to the cause. We've seen one thing after the other. I literally came here, and in 1997, I deployed into Incirlik, Turkey, where we were executing a mission there of Northern Watch, which was a continuation of Provide Comfort, which I had served in when I was in the F-111. So now here we were once again flying over the same territory in Iraq, provide refueling support now to those fighters that are going in and providing cover in Iraq. That transitioned as we went through several stages of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We come back again into Iraq after 9/11. And of course, 9/11 was one of those events that changed the world for everyone, no matter who you were, whether you're in the military, whether you're in the Guard, you're active duty, civilian. I mean, it changed everybody's world. We were in a place and a position and an opportunity to help do something about it. And so shortly after that, the 157th deployed, and we had a chance to be part of that. And so it continues today. Even as the names have changed, we continue to provide support and air cover and air bridge capability throughout the world.
Certainly a remarkable career. You mentioned the new KC-46 that's coming. Maybe you could just talk a little bit about it and what its purpose will be with the 157th going forward.
Sure. I'm excited for them. The entire wing's going to have a great mission to continue, and it's an airplane of super phenomenal capability, replacing an airplane that's more than 60 years old. Many of the aircraft that they have over there are dated from 1957 through 1962. And so now they're going to get an airplane that was released, manufactured, or made sometime between 2018 to 2020, by the time it's all said and done. But quite frankly, they've got a lot of capability when the airplane arrives. The base is currently under construction to get ready for it, whether it's the ramp, the simulator being installed, or the modifications to other facilities to accommodate the growth as well as the size of the airplane. When you get a new plane, you get a couple, 2 to 3 years, maybe even up to 5 years of construction that goes along with it to prepare the additional manpower, the additional facilities for the equipment that we have to store, as well as the airplane itself. And so two new hangars. The one is currently actively undergoing its construction. The airplanes will actually arrive before the second one is complete. The ramp is out there. From what I understand, even in the past couple months since I've retired, the ramp is fully and actively engaged in construction to be putting in new underground fuel pits for the different size aircraft. Because in order
Incredible.
To service them from underground, they've put in a brand new pit system. So quite a bit going on.
I want to read a quote from your successor. Colonel Pekorek said of you, Colonel Ryan was a personable, caring, and energetic leader who served our state and wing through a historic period of time. He was an absolutely essential part of why New Hampshire was selected for the KC-46 and helped lay the foundation of success that will be felt for years to come. Jim also had an amazing way of really connecting with people on a personal level, and he went out of his way to ensure that all the airmen of the New Hampshire Air National Guard were taken care of at home and while they were deployed. What does that mean to you to hear that from your successor? And maybe if you could just talk about, in leading the 157th, the commanding the 157th, how you evolved as a leader and kind of maybe some of the qualities you think define a good leader.
John's too kind. Yeah, no, that's those. I'm humbled by the comments. I appreciate those words and right back at him. It's a great responsibility to have to be the wing commander over there. And I take my hat off to Colonel John Pegorek for coming in. He will do an outstanding job. In fact, I know he'll do even a better job than I did while I was there. But it's a privilege and an honor to be able to lead the airmen. You realize that you're entrusted not just with their confidence that you will get them where they need to go, but you also are responsible for their livelihood as well as the success of the mission. So that comes with a great responsibility, and John is the perfect guy to do that, and I'm so happy to see him in command there. And his words are very kind. Like I said, I don't know really how to respond to things like that. That's probably the one thing I don't do too well is to take compliments like that. But nonetheless, when it comes to leadership, I think it starts with self, right? You know, each and every person has an opportunity and choice every day to make a choice for themselves, the way they carry themselves, the way they lead, the way they act, the way they respond. And people see that. And if you are honest and true to yourself and you respect and have an understanding of other people, just realize that they have the same wants, needs, and desires as everyone around, then you kind of begin to realize that we are all part of this team, whether it's the team of the 157th or the team of humanity, and in which now you maintain the utmost of dignity and respect for everybody that's out there, no matter what their job is. And what you find is some of the most important jobs are being done by some of our youngest airmen. The most critical tasks are being taken care of by people that you have to have the confidence and faith in that they will do a good job. So they need that trust and that confidence. So you have to extend that to them as well. But each and every day, they watch you, right? As a commander, as a leader, as being in charge of anything, whether it's a project or being a supervisor, people look to what you do and how you carry yourself. And if you compromise on doing what's right, they will compromise on doing what's right. So you need to hold yourself to that standard. You know, I think that's some of the early lessons our parents teach us, and we are taught by all those coaches and teachers throughout our lives. But when you take it to heart and you realize now you are in a position that people are looking to you for that example, that's why it's so critical. So I say it starts with self. You got to lead by example. You got to do the right things. And when it means to turn around and reach out and extend a helping hand, you just got to do it.
Aside from your career commanding the 157th and all the work you've done here at Pease, any other career highlights stick out to you that you want to share with us?
Oh, it's fine. I think my career has extended past the volatile strength of my own memory. So when I look back in time, and you remember a lot of the great. I have nothing but awesome memories when I look back over the past 30 plus years. Whether as a brand new student when I went into pilot training, or as my first opportunity to go Mach 1 in an F-111, or fly at 200 feet through the Scottish Highlands, and to have an opportunity to carry, deliver, and be precise on carrying weapons and deliver those. those are fun times. Those are things you look back and it's like, learning how to drive a sports car and getting to appreciate that. So those are cool things. I find that as I matured a little bit, I found almost a greater sense of value and purpose when it came to kind of guiding and leading people as well. So in time, yep, I had a great opportunity to fly F-111s, do a lot of low level, watch that airplane come and go and retire. Then I went and I flew T-37s and teaching. You know, you don't really learn about who you are and just how good or bad you are at doing something until you try to teach it to someone else. And then you realize all of a sudden, man, I may know how to do this, but I don't know how to tell somebody how to do it. And so you go through that transition. But teaching is one of the best ways to learn, too. Anybody, no matter what the job is or what the task is, if you can know your job well and then teach it, what you're doing is you're actually teaching yourself the job better. So I really enjoyed being an instructor pilot. I was teaching primary joint jet pilot training students how to fly the T-37, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's a side-by-side twin-engine jet trainer that's now been retired and replaced by the T-6 Texan. But in this airplane, it was hot, not a really great air conditioning system. It had power limitations, and so you learn to fly it well. But in order to teach somebody how to fly this airplane well and succeed in training, you really you kind of elevated your own self. But it was really kind of like I think you begin to learn how to teach and educate people on doing things that are sometimes unnatural to them. Which, and I transitioned at that same point in time, I became a parent, right? That was about the time when my wife and I started a family, and the kids are the next greatest instructors of life. And they will help you teach and lead and grow people all around you. So like I said, that's one of the great joys that throughout my career, you know, I think one of the things that help make you successful in what your roles and responsibility when it comes to other people is growing a family, raising a family, and having children, because they kind of teach you the true humility of your own mistakes.
For most of your career, you're based here at Pease, but maybe just for other families who have family members serving, how difficult that balance can be between having a family member who serves and then also all the obligations that raising a family entails.
Sure. Here and everywhere, we've had so many airmen, men and women, who have departed and deployed and sacrificed for months on end. In fact, recently, the wing went through a reserve component period deployment in which, you know, we had well over 400 folks deployed, and almost 200 of them were gone for 6 months or more. And these are your friends, neighbors, your relatives, and they have families. They're trying to live their lives just the same, particularly as traditional guardsmen, where they have an employer as well as their military position that they fill in. We asked them to pack it up and go and be gone for 6 months into the Middle East, quite frankly, and that's a huge obligation, and the family carries the burden of that sacrifice, probably more so. So having a strong family and having the support of your family has been critical. And so me as a commander, or having been a commander and then being able to raise my own children and know what it's like to leave them, and as well as know what it's like to have children who have deployed, I think it's a great sense and understanding. You know, what's going through the minds of the families, what's happening while their loved ones are away, and vice versa. You know, when you are deployed and you've got young kids at home, and maybe you're missing their first day of school, maybe you're missing their birthdays, holidays. Sometimes, in cases, people are missing their children, you know, learning to walk or speak or do some things for the first time, and those are always tough obligations. They do it though with a sense of higher purpose, and so it's important for understanding, not just as the member, but as the family, you know, the goodness of the efforts of what's happening when they deploy. And so I spent a little time talking about that. I know Colonel Pogorek, John, carries on the tradition of holding deployed family meetings while we have people who are deployed, and we bring in the families and we talk to them. And, you know, he's a great leader. He has a daughter who's in the National Guard, in the Air Guard here, and having that experience with my son. My oldest son was in the Guard and deployed twice. I think you know him too.
Yeah.
Being in that position where you've been on both the receiving end as well as the departing end, you realize and kind of acknowledge the concerns of the families. And so that's a big shout out to those family members who support loved ones who are whether active duty or Guard or Reserve. My hat's off to them for the sacrifices they make. It really, the burden lies with them most of the time.
And now you're retired. What's next for you?
Well, after Disney World, I'm going to start my next job. Actually, no, truth is I made a quick transition, probably another lesson in life. I should have made that a little slower, but I did make a quick transition back to a job that I had.
Yeah, you earned a little free time.
Yeah, 99. And that is heading off to work for United Airlines.
Well, congratulations.
So thanks, yeah. So I'm now currently working for them after going through 6-7 weeks of training, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a little less in the intensity. So I miss the people that part of the job here in the garden at Pease, but I know there's a phenomenal group of folks that I'll be working with there at United, and a couple of them even work here at Pease. So that's the next transition, and then eventually I'll start slowing things down and kind of enjoying the retired life.
Retired Colonel Jim Ryan, a 30-year veteran combined serving in the United States Air Force and the New Hampshire Air National Guard, and recently the retired commander of the 157th New Hampshire Air National Guard Refueling Wing. Jim, thank you so much for your service, and we thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.